John chapter 11, this is a very familiar story. We see that Lazarus is sick, and Jesus, at the beginning of the chapter, Jesus gets word. Of course, he already knew that, amen. He already knew that Lazarus was sick. And what do Mary and Martha are saying? Hey, come quickly, our brother is sick. And they wanted, you know, they loved their brother, they wanted Jesus to heal him. And in verse 4, Jesus heard that. He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." And we know the story that what? Jesus didn't go right away. Amen. He tarried, and then finally he did go. Lazarus died and was buried, and Jesus goes to Bethany. And then if you turn to verse 37, actually Jesus comes to the grave, and we have the shortest verse in the Bible, verse 35, Jesus wept. And verse 38, Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that thou wouldest believe that thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from that place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." When he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Verse 44, "And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go." Well, the whole reason for this is what we read back in verse 4. Jesus heard that. He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now, this was also, I believe, you know, not to show that this wasn't a trick, some grand deception by Jesus and Mary and Martha. This great miracle of raising someone from the dead, they're just, you know, the body was in the grave, it stinketh. And this just wasn't somebody that, you know, Lazarus was hanging out for a few days in a sealed grave, and then they were bringing him out so they could proclaim Jesus as God. But what was going to happen was going to be a great miracle. But I want to look at, there's some things that we can learn today from this that will apply to our Christian lives, and that's what I want to look at today. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come today, Father, I come before you. I ask, Lord, that you speak through me. Father, you put me behind the cross. Don't let me say anything that is not right with you, not right with your word. But Father, just again, speak through me. Give me your unction and power from on high. Lord, bless the people today. Open their hearts and minds for what you would have for them. Bless Pastor and Sharon as they're gone, Father. Bring them back here refreshed, Lord, and again, ready to lead the flock. Lord, I just ask this, that you bless now this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. What I want to look at, if you go back to verse 39, in the first part here, Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." You ever stop and wonder why Jesus said that? I mean, we read it, and it's part of the story, but did you ever stop and wonder why he said that? And actually, it was a very startling command to them. Martha, I mean, just the reaction of Martha. Martha, he's been dead 4 days, Lord. He's going to stink. And according to the Talmud, it was forbidden to open a grave after it had been sealed. And besides the other dangers of, you know, the disease and stuff like that, Jewish tradition was that if a body was in the grave for 3 days, the soul still hovered around it, ready to get back into it. But on the fourth day, the body started to decay, the body turned different color, and the soul departed. Kind of adds a different dimension to Jesus only being in the grave for 3 days, but that's another sermon, okay? But you got to think of this. They were surprised because what? In the Old Testament laws, touching a dead body, you were defiled. You were defiled for a whole week. You couldn't even come to church for a week. Now, some of you go, hey, that'd be great. But you couldn't go to the temple and offer sacrifices for a whole... You were unclean. If you died in a tent, that tent was unclean for 7 days. So this tradition of, you know, Lord, he's been there 4 days. The soul's departed. He's going to stink. But Jesus said, hey, take away the stone. Now think about that. Well, what's the big deal? Well, let me ask you this. Did Jesus make the stone? Yes, he did. He was there in the beginning. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. He could have just said, stone, go away. And the stone would have gone away. He could have said, stone, move aside. I mean, did he not command the wind and the waves to stop? Amen. Didn't he walk on water? Didn't he feed 5,000 with five loaves and two fishes? He could have just either went squash or flick. And the stone wouldn't have been there. But why did he command them to roll away that stone? Now, you got to remember, these stones, they're not like a gravestone that we see, you know, maybe that thick, maybe that high. I mean, these stones that went in front of a grave, they could have been a foot thick, 4 to 6 feet in diameter. And a lot of times, they were in a groove that slanted down. And so when they rolled the stone, it rolled down into a slot. Sometimes they build walls in front of them. I don't know what the case was here. I doubt they had a wall because it had only been 4 days. But some of these stones weighed 1 to 2 tons. Okay? Now, we all understand that, but in this, we find something that is often missing in our Christian walk. Mary and Martha wanted Lazarus to be healed. They wanted God to work in their lives, and Jesus did a great miracle, amen? He did a great miracle. And they even knew that. Look at verse 37. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? It would have been a great miracle to heal, and Jesus could have done it where he was, amen? He could have said, hey, be healed, and Lazarus would have got up and went about his day, and even though Jesus was not there. But when Jesus shows up and God shows up, great miracles happen, amen? Great miracles happen. And he was going to do a great miracle. He was going to glorify the Father and bring glory to himself. But first of all, he said what? Roll ye away the stone. Well, why? He could have done it. Why? Well, the point here, and the point we're going to look at today, is that Jesus commanded them to do something that was within their power by faith. You do what you can do before I do what you cannot. They had to roll that stone away by faith. But first, they had to roll the stone. And that's the point I want to look at today, is that many times in our lives, we want God to work in our lives things that only he can do, great miracles or great works of God, but Jesus is saying, take you away the stone. Take you away the stone. I believe there's many times in our lives the Lord's waiting. The Lord is waiting to do a great miracle. The Lord is waiting to do a great work in our life, but he's waiting. Hey, the stone is still there. The stone is still there. What are some stones in our life? There's stones in all of our lives. We want God to do a great miracle in our finances, don't we? Seems like we're always scraping by. We're never getting ahead. A bill is always due or late. Does somebody have a bill due today? Sometimes we're living paycheck to paycheck. Sometimes we have more month than money. God, you need to do something. God, help me get these bills paid. God, help me get out of debt. I need a better job. I need a better raise. Lord, you said you would open up your windows of heaven and pour out your blessings. God, you own it all. You know what? And God doesn't even have to break a sweat, you know, to solve your financial problems. He can work a miracle. But you know what he's saying? Roll away the stone. Turn to your left. Turn to Malachi chapter 3. If you find book of Matthew, go one left. Malachi chapter 3. And this is the passage where we get the open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. Malachi chapter 3. Look down in verse 10. Look at the second half. It says, "And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it." That's what we want. That's what we want. We want God to just open up those windows of heaven and pour out the blessing. And we don't have enough zeros in our bank account to hold that. But look at the first part of the verse. What does it say? "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house." Can I ask you today, are you tithing? Are you laying up in store, as the Bible store on the first day of the week, as God has prospered you? Are you honoring God with what he has given you anyway? You want him to do a great miracle, but are you tithing? Is that the stone that's holding back? Are you tithing? You know, I don't tithe very much. It's not going to make that big of a difference. You know, Jesus pointed out in Mark chapter 12 a certain poor widow who threw in two mites. That's like throwing, you know, whatever change you had in your pocket. And they were looking to everyone else that threw in all this gold and silver and jewels. And he said, you know what? She threw in more. That's like whatever money you have in your wallet right now, you put in the tithe plate, but that was your lunch money. That's the closest comparison we can get. Doesn't matter. It's your heart. Are you a good steward of what God has given you? God may not have given you that much. Luke chapter 16, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you, to your trust, the true riches?" Bible says in Matthew 6:24, we cannot serve God and mammon. Are you being faithful with what God has given you? Are you being a good steward with what God has provided? He's not going to give you more until you're faithful with what you got. Is that your stone? Is that the stone that's blocking you from God opening up the windows of heaven and blessing you? Maybe you're in a situation that would take a miracle to fix. I mean, I remember, Kate's not in here, so I can tell a story about her. She learned how to tithe when she didn't have enough money to tithe. She said, "I don't know how I did it, but God provided." Pastor DeMichael, when he was down at Treasure Valley when he was first starting, tells a story of his first two or three years. He went into the tax lady and she said, "I don't know how you survived this year. You don't have enough income." He said, "What? God is faithful." You want God to open up the windows of heaven, but have rolled away the stone. You know, we want God to provide a promotion at work. God, I need a promotion. I want a promotion. Why don't I ever get promoted? God, why do they get promoted? Psalm 75, verses 6 and 7 says, "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another." Lord, I need that. And what does Jesus say? Roll ye away the stone. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Well, what stone? Well, let me ask you this. Are you doing what you can to honor God as an employee? Ephesians chapter 6, look down at verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as man pleases, but as a servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Are you being a good employee? Are you in the right uniform? Do you have a good attitude? Or are you the complainer and the murmurer? Are you the one that always shows up late and leaves early? Are you the one that just sits there, well, the boss didn't exactly tell me to do it? But Brother Stan, you don't know what kind of boss I have. Well, 1 Peter 2:18 says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Now, in Hebrew, that word froward is jerk. Do we have a jerk boss? God says you be a good employee no matter who your boss is. Maybe God has you there so you can be a witness to him. Are you a good employee? Are you the slothful one? Maybe, is that something you can do, is be a good worker with a good attitude, be on time, and do an honest day's work? I think that's something we can do. That's the stone. That's the stone that you need to take away. You look down in verse 9. Maybe you are an employer. Look at verse 9. And ye masters, do the what? Same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is the respect of persons with him. Do the same thing. If you have employees, you do the same thing and you be a good employer. Now, I'm going to say doing these things does not force God into give you an automatic blessing. The Bible says what? That he shall supply all our what? Need according to his riches and glory. He may not feed you filet mignon. He may feed you hamburger. Your need is not to have filet mignon. Now, he may provide that, amen. But your need is what? Come on, we're good Baptists. Your need is what? To eat. Okay. He may not promote you. You may be a witness right where he wants you. But that's the stone. That's the stone. You know, we want God to work in a dead relationship, don't we? We want God to help us out in a conflict. Lord, give life back to my marriage. Lord, heal my relationship with my siblings. Lord, heal my relationship with my child. Help me with my neighbor, Lord. Help me with my family, Lord. You got to do something. What does God say? Roll ye away the stone. Look over in Ephesians chapter 5, right there. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto who? The Lord. Ma'am, wife, are you submitting to your husband? Yeah, but you don't know him. I know myself, so yeah, I know the problems. You don't know him, but you're not submitting to him. You're submitting to who? The Lord. That might be the stone. All right. Husbands, look down, verse 25. Love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and what? Gave himself for it. Husbands, are you giving yourself for your wife? Are you honoring them as the weaker vessel? That might be the stone. Before we get all caught up with that, look at verse 21. Submitting yourselves one what? To another. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Bible also says, children, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And then verse 4, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that those are easy, and you know what, something? You got a stone to roll away, God even helps you do that. God gives you the strength. God gives you, can give you the wisdom. God can give you the grace and the discernment to do those things. But that's the key, isn't it? To do those things. We want God to work. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. You have conflict. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Are those things that we can do, are they hard? Yes. That's what God commands us to do. That's the stones that often get in our way, is that unforgiveness, that bitterness, that anger, that evil speaking, that malice. Those are all things that arise in our hearts, and God says, hey, put it all away. I'll even help you do it. But those are things that we need to do. God can do a miracle. God can give you that slice of heaven in your marriage. God can heal that parent-child relationship. God can give you peace within the family, peace within the neighborhood. He can do a miracle, but you got to do your part. And I'm going to say this. When God does work, He may not change them. Isn't that our prayer? God, change them. How about God, change me? So that I reflect you to that other person. And God may change you more than they change them. You know, we want to see people come to Christ, don't we? We want to see them. Lord, I got parents that aren't saved. I got a child that's not saved. I got brothers and sisters that aren't saved. I have friends. I have co-workers that are unsaved. Lord, you need to save them. And God is still in the saving business. Amen. We've had 4 new saints born again in the last month in Awana. Amen. Thank you for all the Awana workers who are faithful. But take ye away the stone. We know that God, it's God that saves them, right? We do that. We know that. I'm not taking anything away from that. But you know what? They have to hear the gospel. They have to hear the gospel. Romans chapter 10 asks, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? We also read in 1 Corinthians 3:7, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but that God that giveth the increase. Can I say today, you got to plant and you got to water. Are those things that you can do? Plant and water? Take you away the stone. Get busy. You know, in Matthew 4:19, Jesus saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You know, one thing about fishing, and one thing about catching fish, you can have a pole, a stick, an old string, a hook, and a worm. Or you can have $50,000 boat, bass boat, graphite rod, the latest, blue-eyed, red-tailed spin wiggler that's guaranteed to catch fish. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. Or you can have what's over there. You ain't going to catch any fish here or there if your line is not in the water. Your line's got to be in the water. Throw away that stone or move away that stone. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Does your life reflect that hope that is in you? Jesus is waiting to do a miracle. Jesus is waiting for you to take away the stone. You know, we want God's guidance and direction in our lives. We want Him to work in our life. We want to be a good Christian. We want to walk in the Spirit. We want to have His wisdom. We want to have His discernment. We wish we were a better Christian. God, make me a better Christian. God, fill me with Your Spirit. Increase my faith. Give me that peace inside. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. You know, we want verses 5 through 9. Let's read that. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, Proverbs 2, verse 5, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity. Yea, every good path. We want that, don't we? We want that understanding. We want to walk or understand righteousness and be on every good path. But go to verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Do you receive God's word? Can you be in your Bible? Yes, I can. Can you be memorizing God's word? Yes, I can. Look at verse 2. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. You know, when you incline to someone, have you ever been around someone who either talks softly or they can't hear? Now, I say that to a bunch of gray heads in here, I understand. But what do? You lean in, don't you? Do you do that to God's word? Do you do that to the preaching? You lean in because you want to hear it better? Now, I'm not saying you physically have to do that, but spiritually, with your heart, do you lean in? I want to hear that. Verse 2, and it says, apply thine heart to understanding. James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Do you apply what you hear to your life? Look at verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Are you in prayer like blind Bartimaeus, crying out to Jesus until he got heard? Do you cry after something until you get it? God, Lord, bless me now. Thank you. Have a nice day. Lord, change this. Thank you. Have a nice day. Or do you have importune prayer and you're going after it, and you're going after it, and you're going after it in prayer? Look at verse 4. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Seeking and searching for silver, I mean, you search for silver, you got to dig. I mean, how many times you've been walking around your property lately and silver ore has just been laying there? If you do, let me know. I'll come help break your lawn. It's not. You got to dig it, don't you? And you search for treasure. I mean, any treasure hunter show, they research, they comb, they dig. Do you do that for the Word of God? Look at verse 5. Then shalt thou understand. God says, do what you can do. Do these things, and I will apply it to you. Look over in Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse 6. He shall direct thy paths. Anybody want God to direct your path? Anybody want the will of God in your life? Look at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, what? Acknowledge Him. God, I want this path to be Yours. God, I want this to honor You. God, I don't trust myself. Then He'll direct your paths. But when you go your own way, I think sometimes God lets us do that in spite of ourselves. You're anxious about the future. You want that what? That peace of God that passeth all understanding? Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We want that. But look at verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God, I want that peace. God, I need that peace in all the chaos that's going on. God says, hey, roll ye away the stone. Your prayer closet's been kind of empty lately. You've been anxious about a lot of things. You've been careful about a lot of things. Roll ye away the stone. Well, Brother Stan, I have an impossible situation. And it will take a miracle. Turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, in verses 14 through 29, we read of a man who has a demoniac son. He has a child, he has a son that has a demon in him. And he can't do anything about it. And this guy is on self-destruct. And he brings it to Jesus. I mean, look at verse 22. Oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Verse 24, he says, Lord, help mine unbelief. And you read down through there, the demonic spirit is cast out. And the disciples come to him in verse 28. And his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? What is his reply in verse 29? This kind can come forth by nothing but by what? Prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Are those some things that you can do to help your impossible situation? Yes. Now I realize that there are some physical limitations with fasting. I understand that. But you know, the Lord does too. And we think of fasting, well, I can't go 40 days. Can you skip a meal? Can you skip maybe two meals? Fasting is hard. Fasting has kind of gone the way of the dodo bird, if you think about it. I remember the first time Kate and I fasted, we counted down until midnight, ordered a pizza so that it would come to our house at 12:01 midnight. It was 24 hours, and we were good Christians. But can we pray and fast? God, you got to help me in this situation. Hey, pray and fast. Roll away that stone. We want to be a light in a dark world and have the light of God shine through this. We want to be filled with the Spirit. You know what? God desires that too, but we defile this body with things of the world. That only if we took those things away and rolled away those stones, God would work through us more. We want God to work in our church. We want to see souls saved, lives changed, the Spirit of God move through us, the church grow. He can do a great miracle. Bring them in, Lord. Well, take away the stone. Take away the stones that are hindering us. Be a witness. Invite your neighbors to come to church. Obey them that have the rule over you and pray for them. Do all things without murmuring and complaining. Humble yourself before the Lord and submit one to another. Be faithful. And Brother Jason said, come and, you know, be a blessing to Aiden. It is. You ever seen Pastor look around? He's checking to see if people are there. Why? He's the shepherd looking out for his sheep. And he notices when you're gone. Many times the blessings of God are just behind that stone if we only act in faith. Brother Stan, we've heard all these things. We know them. But there's the key, isn't it? We know God has commanded us to do these things, but it takes faith. Go back to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, look at verse 39. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? We're like Martha. We make excuses. Lord, he stinks. Lord, I can't do it because of this. Lord, I can't do it because of that. Lord, I can't. And this is the reason why. And Jesus is still standing there saying, roll away the stone. That's what you need to do. We must believe that God can and will work in our lives. Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must what? Believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You move some of those stones out of the way because you're seeking God, because you're searching for treasure, he will find you and do things in your life that only he can do. You must trust him and not make excuses. We cry, Lord, just do it. Without my help, I don't want to lift a finger, Lord. I don't want to leave my comfort zone. I like my easy chair. I don't want to sacrifice anything. Lord, you just do it, and I want to reap the benefits. What would have happened if they didn't roll away the stone? You ever think about that? Would Jesus have stood there? I'm waiting. Maybe that's God. What's God doing with you today, Christian? Jesus is standing there. I'm waiting. Would he have shook his head and walked away and said, oh, ye of little faith? Well, we would not have had this story, amen. In verse 40, he reminds Martha, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, we should see the glory of God? He reminds Martha, hey, if you only believe. Believe in who I am. Believe in and trust what I said. Have faith in what I can do. You will see the glory of God. I want to remind you today, if we would only believe. Stop making excuses to cover our unbelief, our slothfulness, our neglect, our pride, and take away those stones. We'll see great works of God in our lives. Now let's consider the stones for a moment. Stones come in all shapes and sizes. Gary and I found that out this past week, putting in fence post on a garden. You know, you wouldn't think that a rock this big could be a big problem, but it can be. You know, we often think that the obstacles to God's blessings are huge, and we did find some big rocks. But often, they're not the problem. Some are really easy. We could pick those small ones up and toss them to the side. You know, but, you know, even if it's a small sharp stone or a small round pebble, it hurts when you kneel on it. It hurts when it's in your shoe. Christian, is there some small pebble? And you know about it because it hurts. Is there some small pebble that you need to get rid of? Is it just turning off, hitting off? How about closing a book and opening the book? Something as small as that. Something as easy as that. And, you know, some stones are bigger and take work, amen? They are. Gary and I had an auger and a shovel and a pry bar. And there were times that he was on the pry bar and I was on the shovel trying to get them rocks out. There are times that, and if you look at verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place. No, it was they. It wasn't one person. Sometimes we need help getting rid of stones in our life. Sometimes we need accountability. Sometimes we need prayer from others. Sometimes we need some others to help our burden. Sometimes you need to help someone else with their burden. We need prayer. We need fasting. Maybe a stone in your life has become an idol. Something that takes place, or something that you adore, something that takes precedence over God. Now, I highly doubt that if I went to everybody's house here, that I would find an idol. I mean, no, that would be wrong, Brother Stan. The Jews did that. How many times did the Jews turn to idol and God had to take them to the woodshed? But Isaiah said, idols were profitable for nothing. They can't answer you. You know, sports can be an idol. Let me ask you this. Call up your favorite sports team, your favorite player, and ask him to come to your house for dinner. Is he going to show? Probably not. Probably not. But anything can be an idol. Now, we usually don't make an actual idol, but what does the Bible say? Anything that we set our affections on over and above God is an idol. And maybe God isn't working in your life. Maybe you're not growing in the Lord. Maybe God isn't doing some miracles in your life because you have that idol, whatever it may be. Take an honest survey of your time, your money, your desires. Compare your Bible reading to books and magazine or everybody know what I'm talking about, right? Oh, look at that, click. Oh, yeah, look at that, click. Compare your TV and movie time with prayer time. Compare your excitement and the desire to do whatever it is with your desire and excitement to do things for God. How much you fear what others have to say about you, their opinion, rather than what God has to say about you. You know, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 28 says, "There ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God," put away those idols, "and seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." God will bless, but we need to put away those stones, don't we? Christian, is there some stone in your life that you need to roll away? That's hindering you, between you and God doing a great work in your life. Now, there is one exception to this rule. Turn to Mark chapter 16. There may be someone here today that has never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. There may be here someone today that is lost. The Bible calls them, they're lost and on their way to hell. And maybe you know that. And maybe you're saying, you know what? I'm trying to get to heaven. I have these obstacles, you know, this obstacle of good work. I'm trying to roll that one out of the way by doing good works. Of giving to the poor. I'm trying to get that one out of the way by giving to the poor. Being a good person and being a church member, I'm trying to roll that one out of the way so I can get to heaven. Can I tell you today, stop doing that. Those things don't get you to heaven. Mark chapter 16. "When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the week, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, 'Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?'" See, they came to Jesus' grave and said, "Hey, there's a stone there, and we're not big enough to move that stone." Verse 4, "And when they looked, they saw" what? "That the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, 'Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him.'" You see, these women came and said, "Hey, we want to be with Jesus, but we got to do something. We got to roll that stone away." That's just like a lot of people today. They want to get into heaven, and they're trying to do something to get into heaven. Can I tell you, the stone has been rolled away already. Amen. Something you couldn't do, something you can't do to get into heaven, Jesus already rolled it away. The way is open. Well, Brother Stan, what do I have to do? Well, you have to believe on him. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I know these are familiar verses, but it's good to see what God hath to say. Amen. Romans chapter 10, look at verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible says you're lost and on your way to a devil's hell for all of eternity. And there is no guarantee that you're going to even make it out these doors. There's no guarantee that you're going to see tomorrow. Christ rolled the stone. You don't have to take that stone away, amen. Christ died on the cross for you. He paid that penalty for us. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved, what? Through faith. It took Martha to have faith to move that stone away so that Lazarus could be brought back from the dead. Jesus already rose from the dead and rolled the stone away. But it takes faith in him and what he did for you on the cross to get to heaven. I'd like everyone to stand, please. All heads bowed and eyes closed, being a spirit and attitude of prayer. Ask the piano player to come and start playing softly. Christian, is there something you want God to do in your life? Is there something that you've been crying out to the Lord? Lord, you need to do this. Lord, I can't. Lord, it's going to take a miracle. As Jesus said to your heart today, there's a stone there that you need to roll away. I want you to take care of that stone. Do what you can do, and I will do what you cannot. Whatever it is, whatever the Lord's talking to your heart today, you respond to him. Lord, I don't know what stones need to be rolled away. Ask him. He'll show you. He'll point it out. Maybe you're here today and you're lost, never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you don't see the need. Can I tell you today, there is a need. And if you want to know more, anyone here, be glad to show you from the Bible how you can be saved. But you don't have a stone to roll away. Jesus already did that. Stones can be large, medium, or small. No matter how, what the size, you need to take care of it. If the Lord's pointing something out in your life, you take care of it today.